Our gospel lesson today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. May we pray. Meet us, O Lord, in these sacred moments. Even as we draw near to you, may we find that you have already drawn near to us, and may we find rest for our souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of my favorite moments in life are in the kitchen, especially when all the family is gathered, when the kids have come home, or I'm at a friend's house and we're preparing a meal together. I just love, not the preparation part, I'm not very good at that, but the experience of getting ready for a meal and the fellowship that takes place and the conversations that take place and the laughter that fills the house. Today, in this worship service, we're preparing for a meal, Holy Communion. So if you would, just allow me to speak with you for a few moments in preparation for that meal. Today we begin a new sermon series called Sacred Pace. I want to talk to you today about the pace of life. Perhaps you remember the scene from The Shawshank Redemption where Brooks, the elderly gentleman who's been incarcerated for over 50 years, has been released into society, and the world has changed since he was last in it. In a very poignant scene, he writes a letter back to the friends that he had in prison, and he says, "Dear fellows, I can't believe how fast things move on the outside. I saw an automobile once when I was a kid, but now they're everywhere." And then he says this, and I'll paraphrase it for our current company. "The world went and got itself in a big dang hurry." Can I ask you today about the pace of your life? Do you find that you're too busy? Do you find that you're overwhelmed? Do you find that those symptoms of burnout begin to emerge? An overwhelming sense of anxiety, an inability to make decisions, a desire for a different pace. Today I want to encourage you to listen to the words of Jesus and discover a sacred pace for life. I believe that finding a sacred pace means living life at the speed of Christ. Listen again to Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 10. The invitation is to come. "Come to me," he says, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's his promise. That's his invitation. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, as kids were gathering in our church for our Awana program, I was in my office and Pastor Herman was in his office, and some of the kids found their way back to the office area, as sometimes they do. I'm so glad that the children of our church feel comfortable doing that. And I overheard the conversation in Herman's office as three or four children were exploring the things that he had in on his wall. And if you've never been in Pastor Herman's office, he has a yoke. It has a place for two animals to place their heads. It's a literal yoke. It's probably 4 feet wide, and it hangs on his wall. And one of the children said, "What is that?" And I heard Pastor Herman explaining that it was a yoke and described these very words of Jesus, how that a yoke was designed for two animals, two oxen, to bear burden. And the invitation of Jesus is that we don't bear our burdens alone, that we take his yoke upon us, and he helps us to bear our burdens. I don't know if those children understood what that meant, and I don't know if I understand what that means at times as well. But it's been my experience that it's usually when I am overburdened that I learn by experience. I so enjoyed the choir song today. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Raises a great question for us today. Let's just talk about what it means to live life at the speed of Christ. I don't know what it must have looked like in the New Testament to walk with Jesus throughout the Judean countryside. I don't know what it was like to walk with him along the Sea of Galilee. I don't even know what it was like to walk with him into the streets of Jerusalem. But I would have to think that Jesus had a certain pace to his life that he wanted his disciples to imitate. For them and for us to learn to live life at the speed of Christ. Not too fast. Not too slow. Speed of Christ. The obvious question to ask ourselves today is why Jesus? Why does Jesus become the central focus of the speed of our life as a follower of Jesus? Why is that the case? Or perhaps you're here today and you're not quite convinced that you should follow Jesus and would wonder why we would even proclaim such a message. Why Jesus? And I have two responses to that question today. The first is this: because Jesus is good. Jesus is good. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is good. And in those moments in life when we are overwhelmed by the pace, perhaps we just need to slow down and turn to him. I woke up a little late today. I'll admit to you, I snoozed a few times this morning. And it was one of those mornings as I woke up, I found a sense of hurriedness in my spirit. I've got to get up. I've got to get ready. I'm running behind. I've got to get to the church. And I reached over to get a drink of water on my nightstand and then summarily knocked it over onto the floor and dumped it into my book bag, which contained my laptop. I got up to get a towel and then stubbed my toe on the end of the bed. It was that kind of morning. And it was in that moment that I realized that I needed to practice what I was going to be preaching. Slow down for a second and think about what was happening. I just said, "Lord, I need your help." And I felt this calm reassurance that I didn't need to rush through the morning. In fact, I had plenty of time to sit down and just be quiet in the presence of the Lord. That's what I did. I've got to tell you, it made all the difference in the world to be reminded that Jesus is good, that he has our best interest in mind. To be reminded of the truth of Scripture, that even in those moments when life is falling apart, when our days are unraveling at the seams, even at that moment, the Bible tells us that Jesus is interceding for us in the heavenly realms. That Jesus is literally praying for you. I trust Jesus because he's good, but also because he's God. Because he's God. Not just a good man who lived a long time ago, not just a good teacher who taught wonderful things, but the Son of God. John 14:9, Jesus said this, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know how God feels about you, look at the life of Jesus. Read his words. Read about his life and understand that not only is Jesus good, he is God. That's why we follow Jesus. That's why we strive to live our life at the speed of Christ. And when we do, we begin to experience the love of Jesus. Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Listen to those words again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. In the same way that God the Father has loved God the Son, so has God the Son loved you. With an eternal love, with an undying love, with an unconditional love. It's been my experience that whenever my life gets out of balance, whenever I get out of pace with Jesus, I forget about the unconditional love that he has for me. I've always appreciated the writings of Brennan Manning. If you've never read Brennan Manning's work, do it as a favor to yourself, and you can thank me later. Brennan Manning said this. He said, "My deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ, and I have done nothing to earn it or deserve it." I think it's what God was speaking through Isaiah, the prophet, in the Old Testament reading we had today. That great invitation that Isaiah proclaims, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." The prophet was reminding us that there are some things that God offers to us that we can't work for, that we can't earn, and we can't buy. Namely, the unconditional love of God. The Apostle Paul echoes those words in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, when he said, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My hope for this sermon series, if nothing else, over the next several weeks, is that as we learn to live life at the speed of Christ, we might to experience the love of Jesus. Not just know it with our minds, but experience it in our hearts, to allow the love of Jesus to take that 18-inch trip from our heads to our hearts. We might reflect upon the reason that Jesus came. And we might know the cost of his love. In John 15:9, Jesus said, "I have called you friends." I've called you friends. And my encouragement to you today as we prepare for this holy meal is that you might focus on finding a friend in Jesus. Whenever we find life is out of balance and we find ourselves moving at a pace that is other than what God has for us, we need to remember that we must consult our friend Jesus. And there are three words that describe this understanding: relationship, relationship, relationship. I've called you friends, Jesus said. You see, friends, love is a relational word. And the command to love is a relational command. You may remember that time that Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was. And this was Jesus' response. The greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What we discover in those words is that love is a relational word. And more than anything else, finding life at the speed of Christ is about relationship. I've been amazed at society's response this past week to the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna and several others in the helicopter crash in California last Sunday afternoon. It seems like there's a whole generation who's processing this and understanding that there comes a time in life when we have to decide who and what are important to us. And I wonder today why it takes a tragedy for us to think about who and what are important to us. And what I would encourage you to do as you leave this place today is to slow down. Slow down. To live life at the speed of Christ. To talk with each other. To call someone you haven't called for a while. To write a note to somebody who's been on your mind. Just to reach out to them and say, I've been thinking about you. And I want to know how much I appreciate you. That's the speed of Christ. And I'd also encourage you to eat with each other. Call up a friend and say, let's have lunch. Call your kids and grandkids and say, come over tonight for pizza. There's something special that takes place when people slow down enough to invest in the relationships that are important to them. I have a friend who was a godly man, who, when he recognized that life was slipping away and at a different pace than he had hoped, that he and his wife made a new tradition. They made Wednesday night dinner night at their house. And so that became the tradition that any and all of the family that was available would gather at their house on Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night. The kids, the grandkids, the cousins, the nephews, the neighbors. Now, not everybody can make it every Wednesday night, as you can imagine. But what it does is it establishes a pace of life. And as they gather for a meal, they take time to catch up, to laugh, to pray, to love. See, for me, that means living life at the speed of Christ. So I suggest we start today with our own meal, our time in this little kitchen we have today, that we remember what Jesus has done, that we remember who Jesus is, and we remember His great love for us. Lord God, as we pray today, we thank you for your invitation to slow down, to take your yoke upon us, and to learn from you, and to find rest for our souls. Jesus, you are our friend. You are good, and you are God. And for all of these things, we give you thanks today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.